This is a Dece World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Hey everyone out in podcast land, it's your old buddy and future mayor of Spokane, Dece Casillas. I know COVID has got you down and this last few months has been a real drag, but don't worry because 4th of July is here and it's time to celebrate your independence. So break out your American flag Speedo and come on down to the grand opening this weekend of the Sci Tie at the marina at the Coeur d'Alene Resort in North Idaho. They'll be open Wednesday through Sunday from 12 to 8 with happy hour and live music on Saturdays. And as an added bonus, former co-host of The Social Hour, Monica Stutz, is down there running the show. So go have a drink with her and let her know how much you miss her. Again, that's a Side Tie at the marina at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. We'll see you there.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the nerdiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this, because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You're now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I bought you an all-expenses-paid trip to Guantanamo Bay. You're a dick for not wanting to go.
Get ready for the social hour.
From Dece World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, comedian Monica Nevy. And now your host. With 4th of July this weekend, he can finally play Katy Perry's Fireworks guilt-free. Dece Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dece. Thank you for coming around for another episode of the show. We appreciate you taking a listen. Guys, as always, go to Patreon /pantspending. Check out all these shows on the network, and you can get some behind-the-scenes content. Also, if you subscribe, you can do a one-time donation or subscribe to the whole darn thing. Also, brand new show, Trading Pages, the name of the show that I've been forgetting for the last few weeks, is the newest addition to the network. So make sure and check that out, guys. And as always, go to DeceComedy.com/calendar. Stuff's starting to come back slowly, but Washington's probably about to get shut down again. So. As per the new programming, guys, we're going Tuesdays and Thursdays now instead of just Wednesdays. Again, no Sophie, no Jeremy. We'll see them in studio float in and out occasionally. Maybe have some guest host comedians coming in to hang out in studio. But for now, it's just me talking to people around the country. And one of those people today, luckily enough, we were able to get a good friend of mine, very, very funny comedian. Please give it up all the way from Tacoma, Washington, Monica Nevy.
Yay.
Look at that. Studio audience applause.
Yes. Oh, I missed that. Sound. Yeah.
Nice. What is that foreign sound?
Yeah.
how you been?
I've been okay, actually. Yeah. It together, I guess.
You're alive. You're making it. You didn't get killed in any protests, I see.
No, so you're still, not yet.
There's still time. There's still time.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm hoping for.
You've been staying busy. It looks like during this whole quarantine, you've been still just cranking out the comedy, doing Zoom shows, things like that, right?
Yeah. Trying. I mean, I just wanted to keep creating in some way.
Yeah.
So a lot more videos and stuff like that. And then, yeah, quite a few of the live stream shows, you know?
Right.
It's been interesting. I feel like I've learned a lot, but yeah. I definitely miss stand up for sure.
Have you been able to do any live dates yet?
I haven't. And to be honest, I mean, with you mentioning that Washington might get shut down again, it's kind of how I feel. Like, I kind of want to see how it goes a little bit.
Yeah.
Before I start doing that. I mean, I've toyed with going to some of the open mics and whatnot, but I basically let them do it and then asked how it went first.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. You put their feet to the fire, then you see how it goes. I mean, that's not a bad plan.
Yeah, I am. I will say in the past week, though, I definitely got more like offers and stuff for live shows than I had leading up to this. So
sure.
Yeah, before I had been, you know, rescheduled or booked mostly in like October and on. Mm-hmm. And now people have started asking me to do stuff for the summer, which is good. But, you know, I'm still kind of feeling it out, I guess. Yeah, because I can control what I'm doing, but not necessarily what everybody else is doing.
So. Yeah, I mean that's the hardest part about this is especially for you know what we do is you book out months in advance, but I mean ideally, that's the idea.
Right.
You know, the idea is to be months out, as far out in advance as possible. But you know, it's just a giant question mark as to what states open or going that may change or. Capacity. So it's like, oh, I can do a show, but we can only hold, you know, instead of 100 people, now we can only hold 35 people. It's like, well,
right. Yeah. Well, and what does that look like? A finance, like pay wise, you know, is that changing or not?
Right.
Which I think a lot of the clubs, it became obvious maybe they weren't paying as much as they could have.
Yeah.
But
what? I don't know who you're working for, Monica, but man, I make sure there's at least one comma in every check I get.
Yeah. I'm working for no one right now.
Right? Yeah. Well, we definitely the pay has not increased for comics anytime recently. It's actually gone down arguably.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me it probably would get paid about the same anyways, but but yeah, but the show quality wise, you know, is this what is it like to perform in front of 35% of an audience with
right.
face masks on? I don't know, but probably better than me in my living room.
I mean, yeah, it's a step towards the light, but still it's still such a, you know, polarizing different, you know, such a stark contrast from what you're used to doing shows in front of, you know, potentially hundreds of people sometimes who are all having a great time. And then you're like, oh God, you guys could all be scowling. I can kind of hear you laughing. I don't really, it's just a really odd, odd feeling. I didn't do any of the Zoom stand-up shows. I did some variety shows. Our mutual friend Luke Severide, I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and I said the same thing to him. God bless everyone who did them. You're better than I am. It just seemed like a I just couldn't get myself to do it. I got offered a couple and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can
no,
do it.
I don't blame you in the least. In fact, I was like asking people, because that's the thing about Zoom shows, like you could be on a show with me and we barely do shows together unless I'm in Spokane. You know what I mean? So that's like kind of the fun part. So I could ask people that were farther away if they wanted to do the show. And so many people said no, which I like literally my response every time was like, if you don't have to do them, then don't, because it's weird. And I don't know. There is a rust element to it, I guess. You know what I mean? Like not doing anything, but I don't know if it, like the stuff that I did that I wrote during this time I did from my living room, I don't know if that really works, you know, like it's
sure.
And it just feels different. So it's not, I don't know if it helped as much as people want it to be like, oh, I'm still doing stuff all the time. It's like, but I don't know.
Yeah. Like you are, but not really. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like you leave the big leagues and you're still in like a Sunday softball game. It's like, yeah, I'm still swinging a bat. I don't know if it's the same. I'm not hitting them out of Fenway anymore.
Right. But, yeah. It was such a financial thing for me. I mean, I don't have a day job, and then all of my work got canceled. So it was like, kind of scrambled and did the live streams right away. But then, you know, at some point it's like, okay, well, this is running out, first of all. And also, it's a lot of work. So yeah, I've kind of skewed into like doing other stuff. I did, like I said, I was kind of joking, but serious, that I learned a lot and kind of what I want online content to look like versus, you know, seeing live shows. So I've definitely learned a lot and kind of have some new ideas as far as using my YouTube and stuff. So there's been positives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of one of the biggest things I know personally. And I, you know, talking to other people, I think they've kind of ideally use this time to finally fulfill the promise of the internet. Like it turns out my MacBook doesn't just have porn and Amazon on it. It's got
still mostly,
right, but mostly. Yeah. 98%, a couple viruses too. But like there's you know, I mean, things like this, I mean, literally I've been doing this podcast for 6 years and it took me a pandemic to realize I can do shows like we're doing them now.
Right. I know. It's so funny. We talked about it and I was like, oh, we could have had guests like from anywhere, you know?
Right.
Which, I mean, I'm saying that and I had them on my shows, but on our podcast, we've literally had one guest since this whole thing started, which is stupid, but you know, it's that. And then I think the idea of like utilizing live stream when people I would rather do live stream shows earlier in the week so that people can come see me live later. But the idea, like, I didn't really think about that. Like, I've been doing trivia on my YouTube channel, and I was like, oh, if you did that on a Monday or a Tuesday,
right?
Like, people want to stay home that night anyways. Like, we can still use these things that we've created or kind of been forced to do moving forward, I think. So, that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I think it makes people, you know, people who are good at what they do, like you, and people who are, you know, hustlers at it and find a way to make it work. So you get creative and do things like trivia and stuff like that. And I think that is really the key. Cause I mean, especially moving forward when more people are looking to the internet for entertainment, it's like, yeah, generally, I mean, 99% of Mondays, there's probably not a show you're booked on. Like, I mean, that's it's just not a comedy night, you know, in general, not you personally, just people. Monday's not like a comedy night where you have shows a lot of the time.
It's not really anything, you know, people, it's your first day back to work. If we're going to a traditional work week, it's your first day back to work. You're tired. You want to go home. If you want to watch something fun and that's available online, I think that's great. Cause think about, you know, Monday night open mics or whatever. Yeah. It's never going to fill the room. It's not going to be a sold out club on a Monday unless, you know, you're a famous person and then they're only going to see you. That's the only Monday show they've ever been to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're not just going to go. I mean, it allows you to be like, well, yeah, I don't have a gig on a Monday night. I can be home and, you know, do trivia very easily and make some money, you know, it's like that. So, and it gets also starts drawing people to your page and you get a little more retention rate. I don't know about, you know, as you started using your online presence more, have you noticed a bigger uptick and retention rate in kind of what you're getting on those sites?
I think as far as like YouTube, and I treat my social media kind of like when you choose an airline mileage plan.
Yeah.
You pick one and kind of stick to
sure.
them, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Focused a lot on YouTube as far as like that's where I'm actually wanting people to watch things. So
sure.
if I had a longer video or doing a live stream, I only do it on YouTube. I don't
okay.
put it on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, you know, like
yeah.
that, which I don't think that's a bad plan either. I just kind of wanted to focus all
one
of
spot.
The things on the YouTube. And yeah, there's definitely numbers have gone way up, and that's mostly because of the live streams. I mean, it's a longer show or it's a longer video.
Right.
It's also, I was doing them pretty often, so that it's different. And so it's funny because for a long time I didn't really pay attention because all of the numbers were way lower than I would need to have it be that important anyways.
Right.
And then when they jump, you go, oh shit, now I gotta like keep doing stuff.
Yeah, no.
which is, it's still fun. And I do think with all of those things, like consistency is huge. I know you know that from this show, like continuing to put things out over
yeah.
and over again. Because you're going to go through dips, but it just kind of gradually rises. That's huge. And I think I've seen quite a difference in that since, you know, just putting more stuff out basically because I have, that's the only thing I really have.
Yeah. Well, and it's good though, because I mean, I think, you know, we probably both know people who are great stand-up comics. And during this time, like I've seen so many people just like nothing, complete silence
yeah.
from them. And I'm like, oh God, I know it's like, you know, I mean, it's easy to fall into the depression. It's easy, you know, you're not doing stand-up, but like, I don't know, you have some fan base. Every comic out there that's like a working comic has some fan base at least, you know?
Right, yeah.
Whether, you know, the size is debatable, you know, that's a different story. But I mean, it's putting content out there and like you said, regularly, the consistency of it where it's like, whether it's, hey, I do trivia every Monday. Well, then people, you know, if they can depend on it, then they know that like, hey, okay, this is my Monday thing. You know, they're more likely if it's sporadic, then they're like, you know, they pop in one Monday, it's not there, then they're like, they may never look again.
Right, then you forgot, which is the same as, you know, running a show.
Yeah.
Producing an actual live show is, that's, consistency is huge and all those things. I mean, it's, I've kind of had time to kind of fuck with just marketing in general and kind of some
sure.
different, you know, because everything on the internet, like, you can pay for ads and do this. And I'm like, well, what does work? How much money is useful? How much isn't, you know?
Right.
So kind of had fun with that, which is, I think would be helpful moving forward to promote live shows that, you know, I want people to go to.
Yeah. Not that we don't want people to go see Monica.
See every
online,
show, yeah.
You
know, but
live, online, YouTube, everything. So what about, so let's talk about the Zoom shows again. I have a couple of questions on that for people, not necessarily about Zoom in general, but about the writing you were doing. Because I found myself the first probably month and a half, 2 months of doing, of quarantine, I found myself not missing stand-up yet. I was very much happy for the break from life in general. And also, I didn't write a single joke for stage for probably about 2 months because I was just like, I think part of it was I wasn't, you know, you're not living life. So there's not a lot of experience to draw from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how was that for you for, you know, it sounds like you were writing and doing new material on some of these shows.
Yeah. I mean, and that it's one of those things, I mean, in this, I hate to continue to compare it to this, but when you run like a monthly show or something, if you host all the time, then you kind of have to like
sure.
force yourself to
yeah.
do new stuff. It felt like that. So at first I was doing like 30 to 45 minutes at the end of every show. And
yeah.
that was a lot. And then you have to go back. And so you're still getting a lot of like repeat people watching, so
sure.
I didn't want to keep doing that. So then I kind of switched it around to where I did like 5 minutes of topical stuff up front, and then did had the other two comics go, and then at the end did like 20 to 15 of newer stuff, but then also what we have been calling comment work of like people, whatever the comments are.
Yeah.
We have someone watch the comments and then they kind of yell it out at us if we want. So that just to kind of fill it a little bit, but it's hard not to talk about what's going on a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
It's always going to trickle in at some point, but then a lot of it is like, I feel like I spend my days normally Monday through Thursday, every other Thursday, whatever, with a 6-year-old. And I was teaching him, you know, doing the
distance learning.
Is it
the same 6-year-old or you just find a new one every other day?
Yeah, a new one.
Hey, how old are you, kid? Come with me.
Go for it. I'd be like, I'm an expert at this point. Yeah, bring it on. same one.
Okay.
But so a lot of the material becomes about that, you know, and it's...
Sure.
So in the frame of doing those shows, it was like, well, I'm home with a 6-year-old. I'm teaching it. You know what I mean? But I do think the material itself was good enough to reframe as in like, you know, kids in general, or
sure.
It doesn't have to be about being quarantined with a 6-year-old. It can be a little bit broader, but I do like a lot of it is about, you know, I mean, honestly, listening to your neighbors yell at each other and being, you know, just weird stuff that is happening right now. I'm hoping it reframes itself when we
sure.
when we get live. But yeah, I mean, you're right. When you're not out and like living and doing all these other things, it's basically what you're doing in here, which honestly, it's a bit lucky that I have some things to go off of. I mean,
yeah.
Like, there's two other people here. If I'm just alone, you know, it's a little bit different. Or it becomes that topical, like what's going on the internet, because there's just nothing... Unless it's very stupid stuff or you're going to go through some real, real in-depth writing exercise and be like, okay, I'm going to go back from when I was 5 to 10 and find one thing then, you know.
Right.
Which is just a little bit harder to do. Not harder to do, but it's more work, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's work, but it's like a forced thing. Whereas like, I mean, I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of the things you write, if you're writing comedy, you're writing just, it just comes naturally. Like it just happens and you're like, oh, that's funny. Or you say something or have a thought and you're like, it just, so it forms in your head instead of kind of digging back and trying to mine something out of something that,
yeah.
you know, before you even had like a comedy brain as much, you're like, what?
Yeah,
what?
No, I agree 100%. And some people are, that's the thing with art is like, however you do it is correct, because
yeah.
the other people are like, why sit down for an hour a day and just write everything down and try to make a joke out of this? And I've tried that. I have. And it's forced and it doesn't, it's not funny.
It seems contrived, right? Yeah.
You're yeah,
like, you're, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. In my way that has worked the best, and some of my best material does come from, you know, things that happen in the moment. I write them down and then think about it later or whatever. So yeah, just forcing it, especially right now when less is going on right in front of you,
yeah,
it would be really forced.
It's super hard, because I mean, it's, I'm very similar in my writing process. I know comics who sit down and like, yeah, I write an hour a day, and I'm like, I would nothing funny would come out of that. Like, I mean,
right.
I need something to happen, or it's usually like me driving alone for a couple hours and me just like yelling in my car. that's generally how my material happens.
Yeah, no, I'm a big, well, okay. So they say that the more relaxed you are, the closer you are to your subconscious, and that's supposed to like
uh-huh.
help create creatively. And so I do write in the morning, or try to, when
sure.
I first wake up, but it's just to get things, like, I don't ever intend for it to be funny.
It's just like
to
a journal,
kind of
almost,
get things
kinda,
out.
Like a...
Yeah. And then that way, if there are like kind of weird things in the way or something more of a stress thing, then you get it out of the way so you can think about other things. But also, like, when I'm driving the car, when I'm in the shower, like, just when it's quiet, there's nothing
yeah
bothering me, and I'm just kind of farther into the thoughts, that's definitely where some of the better material comes from, for
right.
sure.
It is weird how, like, I feel like I would win Jeopardy if I could do Jeopardy from the shower. Like I would be crushing it. Like I am the best me in the shower. That's the best
shower Jeopardy is just
that should be a game show.
Yeah, I'm thinking that might be, because it could be anything. It could be trivia, but then it could also be like singing, people sing in the shower, you know.
Yeah.
Would you go full full blast if you were in the shower singing too.
Sure,
so
sure. The acoustics are a little better also, depending on your bathroom.
Yeah, you're on to something.
I feel like we should just the bathroom game show network. That's going to be
we could
do all kinds of stuff. All right, I'm going to work on that. I'm writing that.
I like down. It.
Yeah, I'll catch you in on it since you were part of it when we launched that.
No, yeah, and right before I fall asleep too, that's when, how often I have to be like, and then get back up to write something down, but I'm like, it's gonna be good probably. So
sure. I try to convince myself sometimes that when I think of thoughts late at night and I'm too tired to like get up, I'm like, okay, if it's good enough, you'll remember it in the morning. Do you ever get
that,
gamble with yourself?
Night. Yeah. Last night I remember thinking of something and then saying it over and over again a few times and then being like, okay, yeah, I'll remember it tomorrow. And I couldn't tell you right now what it was.
So it wasn't
I
good.
Think like at this enough. Point I would be super famous and have late night specials and Netflix specials if I could remember 50% of the things I forget right
sure.
before. Yeah. So if I actually wrote them down, it'd be far more successful.
Yeah, you have to, you've like lost 80% of your material.
Basically.
Yeah, I've also, well, I actually, so I got really good. I used to keep a notepad by my bed. Now I just like, I have a ton of voice notes in my phone.
Yeah.
Like I'll just talk to my phone before I go to sleep if I think of something. I wrote down one time, I woke up to this note I'd written down, which was, how are we going to teach people about the birds and the bees when all the bees are dead? And I'm like, well, it's not very funny, but it's pretty profound, I think.
No, it is pretty profound. That's funny.
But literally right behind that, I had written down, if you think you need to bleach your butthole, then you probably do. And I was just like, and I was like, what the fuck was going on in my head last night?
I do find, like, I find a note that has, like, it starts with one thing, and I would think that you would be like, okay, the next part is probably still part of this joke,
sure.
But then something completely different, and it's just insane. And
yeah, like, what the fuck? Yeah, did I fucking butt chug peyote last night? Like, how the hell? What is coming out of my dumb head right now? So
they're all, yeah, and, oh man, especially when I'm drunk and I'll try to like write things down, and then I remember so many times looking at my phone and being like, okay, yeah, I'll get it. I'll be able to put that together when I read it tomorrow. And then I read it the next day and I'm like, I have no idea what this meant. Like, I have no it probably wasn't good either, but still you're like, well, shit.
It's like that forever puzzle. Yeah. You feel like you wake up in the morning, you feel like that, like Guy Pearce from Memento, where you're just like looking at these notes on your body. Like,
yeah,
what is
like,
this?
What
happened? Why is this funny? What about drunk me thought this was hilarious last night?
Oh, God. Yeah. I was trying to, I don't know why I thought this was so funny, but I was trying to voice write a note, like, hey Siri, write this note, you know?
Yeah.
And I forget what happened. Like, it didn't pop up on time or I dropped something. And so the note just said fuck, but it like saved it in there. So it just... just a note that says fuck, and that's
just,
it.
Just a reminder that, hey, sometimes fuck, you know?
Well, she comes up sometimes on accident, you know, or Alexa or whoever, like, you accidentally say it. And I was reading a joke I had written for this roast Zoom thing, just reading it.
Right.
It doesn't say that word, Siri, you, thee who shall not be named.
Yeah,
it didn't say that in there. And then it popped up anyways. And it was about a serial killer. And it was just like, oh, Chicago had this serial killer. And then the, like, the voice part on the message is like, oh my God, what? No. Like,
yeah.
Because I was like, why is that coming up? Like,
they're always listening, Monica. They're always listening.
They really are.
That's yeah. Really, it's crazy how much, how scary technology is. I think that I watched The Terminator last night, the original one.
That'll make you feel good.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is our future. although I did note, so like the first Terminator movie, they're sent back from like 2029, right? So like 9 years from now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like ravaged America and like war torn and cyborgs killing people. And like, it's just terrible. And I'm like, 9 years from now, I'm like, there's no way America will be that nice in 9 years. I'm like, you're come on, that's crazy.
That's funny. I mean, I could definitely see that. But did you ever watch Last Man on Earth?
Was that show with who is the guy who was in that?
It's Will Forte and Kristen Shaw, and it was a really funny show. I thought, you know, it's irreverent because Will Forte is,
yeah.
But it was, you know, about a virus that had killed, he thought, everyone, but then there's like, you know, ends up being like 8 of them that they find or something.
Yeah.
But it started in 2020.
Oh yeah.
And they've tweeted about it a lot. Like Kristen Shaw's like, I know it started in 2020. It's this virus. Like, it's this whole thing. And it is like, when you get it, you like cough up blood. Like, that's how they know. Oh, so it was, man. Like, oh God, I know. Like, I keep thinking about that. I'm like, did we predict so many things that were going to kill us? Like,
it's just the programming, man. The programmers just have us set up to, you know, they're just fucking with us now.
It's a simulation, right? Is that what?
I actually had lunch with a friend of mine earlier today, and we were having that conversation. And I'm not like, the further this goes, the less I'm like, I'm not convinced that that's not like happening.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, cause they have basically, in a recent interview, Elon Musk was saying how they essentially can, download your consciousness into like computers now. They've kind of figured out how to do that, you know? And I'm like, well, maybe that's how they figure out how to save us from the virus. We just have these computer like bodies, and then, oh, well, then all of a sudden we're just plugged into the system, and maybe that's kind of, we've already done that. And you're like, oh God, all right, I'm just going to go eat mushrooms and sit in the woods for a week. Fuck this.
I mean, that is what I had years ago. I had written down, I wish like your body was like your phone, and that, like, you know, when you crack your phone screen, you can replace it,
yeah,
and you can get a new one, and then it's totally like the same thing, or you can just get a new one, but it still has all your information. And that's how I felt about my body, just because I have, from being an athlete, it's pretty used up, and I would love new knees, or, you know, you just call the guy over at lunch and he gives you a new ankle or whatever.
Right. Just like, yeah, take about like 35 minutes.
Right. But I mean, and then you're like, oh, that's funny. Ha ha ha. But you're like, no, they probably can like do that. And you're like, oh God.
Yeah. We're not, if it's not already happening that we don't know of, we're not that, right. I feel like we're not that far away.
Everything's pretty close. And that's kind of scary.
Well, this whole year has just been like a cavalcade of things coming at us, you know, comically, but also kind of rapid fire in a way where you're like, it's getting scary to the point of like, you have to wonder like, what is next? What is, you know, what is the next thing that we have to deal with, and how did
these things wrap up? You know what I mean? Like, there is no end right now to this virus. There is no end to the, you know, equality in general. There is no end to all these other things. And like, what, I just don't know if any of this can be swept under the rug anymore. And so what does the end of it look like? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, hopefully it's better, but it could be just insanity, I guess. And not that it not already is.
Right. Yeah. It's just more insanity. Yeah. I don't think this ends well. I think is what I it's getting too heated in too many different ways, and you know, unfortunately, you know, the divide, you know, whether it's politically, racially, things like that, you know, people's dogmas that they adhere to has become so polarized that like it's hard, you know, the rational, like, hey, let's find an in-between of everyone's just like, no, you're either all this or I hate every piece of you. It's like, oh.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oof.
So, well, and it does feel, I mean, and again, you know, maybe it is, we're seeing so much of it and now we have to pay so much attention because there's not a whole lot else to do, but it does seem far more divided than it has been in a long time. I mean,
yeah, it really does. I mean, I don't remember who I was talking to the other day. I'm like, I want to go back to like 1999. I feel like things were pretty good, you know? I mean, sure, there was a lot of juvenile music on MTV. Maybe that wasn't great. But like, I mean, beyond that, I mean, things were like pretty good. America's doing okay.
I love juvenile.
No disrespect to Mr. Juvenile. Things were pretty good, and I don't know, maybe, but also maybe they weren't as good as we thought. Like, maybe because of social media, like, we can hear about things so much faster, definitely the news sensationalizes things and keeps people stirred up, obviously, as part of it. But then again, there's definitely things that are like going on that people should know about and probably be stirred up about.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that we couldn't fact check the way that we can now. You know what I mean? Like, now it seems a bit obvious. So then you go back and you think, okay, well, I was watching the news then. Maybe they were just doing the same stirring up, right? But there was no way for us to realize that it was that,
right?
But I had thought, like, for a while, it's like, oh, maybe I would like to go back to the 90s. Maybe that is when, you know, I would rather be 30 then,
yeah,
than now. And then, you know, at the time I was thinking, like, no, it was worse for women, it was, you know, we've gotten better, yeah. But now in this moment, I don't know if that's true. So then I feel like we've talked about all these issues with women, we've talked about so much with the racial injustice, and it feels the same. Like, it feels like the things we're talking about now were what was happening then. So even going back then is like, well, it's the same thing. So maybe it was better to be.
Yeah. When is the best time? SpaceX launched their space shuttle, you know, the Dragon, into space a couple weeks ago. I was like, just imagine if some like time traveler showed up to now and he'd be like, hey, you guys are shooting people into space and you have civil rights protests. What is it, the 1960s? He's like, take a second guess.
He's like, this thing didn't work. It's the same stuff. Yeah.
It's like, we just don't seem to learn. But I think part of it is too that you know, with the social media, is that we can, for lack of a better word, like, mobilize people in these movements easier, which is good. Overall, good. There are some bad elements to it. It does cause some things to go sideways with, you know, opportunists taking advantage of situations. But I mean, overall, you can, you know, we've had, I mean, God, you had a global Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, literally globally on every continent, almost every, you know, countries across the world, this was happening. So, I mean, that's something that couldn't have happened probably even like 7 years ago, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, you know, there is some benefits to it, but, you know, and even with the fact checking, like, I love how we can fact check now, but people are also like much more adverse to facts. They're like, you know, like, it doesn't matter.
It does seem that way.
You know, it doesn't matter what you say. They're like, if that's not what they believe in, or, you know, their political candidate or their dogma, there's nothing you could say or do to, you know, I mean, there's this great video, Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show interviewing people at a Trump rally. And he's like, is there anything that would make you not vote for Trump? And like nothing. He's like, what if you found out he was smoking crack? Or, I mean, literally, these people are like, nope, not at all. He's like, there's like, I mean, nothing. And it's like, wow, man, I mean, I get being dedicated, but at a certain point you have to, you know, maybe just don't, not so blindly.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, I know that there's Democrats that feel the same about not voting for him, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Is there any, it's like, what, well, okay, well then what if we say that your candidate is a rapist and you're like, well, they've done that and we don't care, you know, like,
right.
It doesn't help. But I mean, it's a bit stuck.
Tried that.
It's also like the spread of misinformation is just as rampant as being able to check on things. So that's, I have heard this, and I don't know, I just assume a smart person told me this, but when like print first started, when you could first write books and stuff, there was actually a big issue with a lot of misinformation because anybody could write things down.
You know? I don't know. I mean, explain the Bible then. That's 100% accurate.
It's in hotels.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the joke is what, if it's on the internet, it's true. You know, like that's kind of how, so it's a similar thing, which I think people have gone through before. So it's just, it's confusing. And I think at some points you have to take a step back and just breathe for a moment before you get too involved in all of it.
Yeah.
Cause it's just overwhelming.
Well, and I think part of it with this news, this 24-hour news cycle, that's become like a cliche of like, yeah, the 24-hour news cycle, but people don't want to get the news out correctly. They want to get the news out quickly.
Yes.
So definitely. So it's just about, they just have to get it out there so they can get their clicks and like, you know, figure out the details later or don't just,
or don't like, or care about people later. That's the other part of it. I mean, yeah. A valid example, but did you know that Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's wife, found out he was dead from TMZ?
Yeah. Right.
Like they had gotten on it so quickly that they hadn't even called her yet, which is just, that's horrifying. And
right.
And then you don't get to know for sure or believe, you know, you have this terrible feeling where you're like, is that true? Because it is TMZ. So you don't know. I mean, it could be them just trying to get something out quickly and it wasn't really him, but then you have to come to terms with the fact that it was. I mean, that's just, so there's a lack of, for news. I mean, not that TMZ's really news, but you know what I mean? News.
Don't disrespect Harvey Levin. Come on.
Yeah. That say they're for us and trying to help us, they're very good at hurting us as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think that, you know, that's when it comes down to the news, whether it's TMZ or CNN or Fox News or anything in between, they have advertisers. And when, you know, when the news has to make money, it's no longer about the news. It's about making money. So,
right. It's not journalism anymore.
Right.
It's a business. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, Sean Hannity isn't a fucking hard hitting journalist. He's just, he's a talk show host. I mean, that's it, you know, that is so. And that's what it's become, instead of people who are, you know, aggregating facts and fact checking for us. It's, you know, it's not Dan Rather up there telling us what happened. It's someone who's like, this is our version of what may have happened.
Well, right. And it's usually not them even writing, you know, they're just reading what somebody's quickly written and hoping that it's true, which is why people get in trouble for, you're like, well, you reported this thing that wasn't even close to true. So
yeah.
Great.
And then everyone just forgets about that too.
Like, everybody's drinking bleach and we can't make them stop because you already told them.
Right. Hey, listen, I mean, kids were eating Tide Pods last year. Bleach can't be that bad for them, right?
That is true. You know, we have some resilient immune systems coming up after this. Yeah.
Maybe that's why all the young kids aren't getting coronavirus, because they all were eating Tide Pods. They're like,
their Tide Pods are still.
Right, we're so clean inside. they already made it through. Yeah, it's interesting times. Well, with the comedy, I mean, hopefully returning eventually. For people who, you know, are listening that don't know you, I mean, how long have you been doing comedy for?
About 9.5 years. It'll be 10 in January.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's been 5 years since I've been the full time, like no day job and all that stuff. So, yeah, quite a while now, which is kind of crazy.
But. Right. I mean, that's a good chunk of time for anyone. You know, I mean, that's, God, 10 years. That's you're like a professional. You're doing it 5 years, especially 5 years in with no other day job. So, like, what made you start doing comedy in the first place? Where did you start doing comedy?
Started in Seattle. Well, in Kirkland, actually, at Laughs. I was still in college. I was a junior at Seattle University. I loved stand-up my whole life. Loved watching it. You know, I was lucky enough to have Comedy Central already a full-blown network when I was younger. So they had Friday night stand-up, and that's what I would do on Friday nights, just stay home and watch stand-up. I was an athlete, though. I played basketball all the way through college. And that was kind of my, that's what I wanted to do. And then I got hurt. I couldn't play anymore. And it was probably when I first went to college, I had started writing jokes just for fun. And just kind of, I looked into like, how do you start doing stand-up or whatever?
Right.
And, you know, they say open mics, and then a few open mics come up. And it wasn't until I got hurt, it was about 8 months afterwards, that I decided to go and do an open mic. And it went well. And I did start in January, which wasn't a resolution thing, but I always wonder if it didn't go well the first time, would I have kept doing it?
Yeah.
And now I love doing open mics in January because there are a lot of resolution comics.
Sure.
So I didn't bring anyone. You were like supposed to bring four people or whatever for the audience.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring anyone. I lied to them and said that I did. But the audience was packed, you know? So it's a good audience. I mean, if you do your first open mic and there's three people there, you're like, oh, this is horrible. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Who does this to themselves?
Right. Exactly. So that's how it started. But yeah, I mean, so the first probably year and a half or so, it was, I was still in school. I was still with the team. I had another job. You know, there was a lot going on, and then doing stand-up as well. So it wasn't as often as then after I had graduated. Yeah. And then I worked for Boys and Girls Club as the assistant director for a couple years after college until I was ready to go. And then I went on tour for 3 months and then moved to LA for 3 years, then went back to putting my stuff in storage and just being on the road for about a year. and then here we are. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how long after did you know right away? I mean, you grew up wanting to do stand up or liking it, but I mean, how soon into doing open mics were you like, this is going to be my career? Or are you still wondering that?
That's funny. Cause for a long time, people were like, well, what's your goal with stand up? And I would say, I want it to be the only thing that I do.
Yeah.
And now that's been true for 5 years, and I really haven't reevaluated my goals too much. So I should probably.
I'm done. I've made it.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't know what you guys are up to. I had a pretty good idea when I first started.
Yeah.
You don't know what the ups and downs are going to look like. And I don't know if I was really had those in mind at all, but I knew that it was what I wanted to. I wanted it to be that for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you know, I think if you asked most people who are doing stand-up comedy, not full time, if you ask like, would you want to do stand-up full time? Their answer is probably going to be yes.
Yeah.
But it's funny how, I mean, I'm sure over the years you've seen this too. You see people who are like, would love to do it full time, but like not taking the steps to do it full time.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't ever blame anybody for stand up has these characters where they're like, you have to do as many open mics as you can and be on stage all the time and not have normal relationships and only hang out with comics. And you're like, actually, no, you don't.
Yeah.
But it's, and the more and more you get into it, the more you realize that it can be whatever you want it to be.
Right.
You still have to put in the work to make it that. But there's no right path. There's no, you know, what has worked for someone is probably not going to work for you, honestly.
Yeah.
So you have to create your own way. But people ask me that. I get this question all the time. They go, would you ever want to be on TV? Like, I'm going to be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Take your contract.
Wait, what channel?
I'm good. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like,
I don't want to be an Ion or some shit like that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And, we've been on TV. It's not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's not, I think that people see it. And I used to see it like this as well. Like, once you're on TV, once you're in a movie, then you're good. You're on TV forever.
Sure.
Or you do movies now, which isn't true. I know 90% of the people I know have been in one thing and then just gone back to touring stand-up, whatever it is. So there's just so many different ways things can go. There's so many different, ways to do whatever the goal is you have in mind. And keep in mind, it's going to change. I mean, when I moved, I don't even know if I really had a set, like, this is what I want to do. I knew I wanted to do stand-up and didn't want anything to really get in the way of that.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff that people want to do when they write for shows or they do other stuff, it changes the way you can do stand-up. that's not my excuse for not being a TV writer. But it was what kept me out of LA most of the time. I was on the road still most of the time from there. So then that changed. I mean, I really, really liked creating my own things. I went, you know, got some grants, made things I wanted to. Then that kind of sparked this in me that, oh, I really want to make things that I want to make. I don't want to sit here and audition for roles that I'm not going to get because I'm not, there's a million other girls that look better than me that can actually act. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not my, that's not where I'm going to fit in. Sure. And so I liked, and I like it better this way. So it was, that changed it really. I really like, I honestly like non-scripted better than I thought. I was like, I love sitcoms. So I was like, oh, I'll write a sitcom and I'll do that. And then after making a documentary series, I was like, oh, I actually really like this better, I think.
Yeah.
So it's always going to change. And then you have to factor in the life parts of it because one, I think it makes you funnier. And two, at the end of it all, there needs to be some balance. So maybe when you first start, you don't have relationship or family or being close to people you already love in mind, but eventually that'll come back.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's going to need to, or else I think you do kind of go crazy. So it's just going to change. You know, what my goal is right now or this year is almost important just to think of that.
Right.
Because after I finish, you know, these projects, that might change the way I want to do the next thing or where I want to be or, you know, whatever. So it just changes a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. I think, you know, that's a good point because it's that early momentum of making it, kind of dedicating and working. And yeah, you got to hit a lot of open mics, takes a lot of time. You make some sacrifices, time and money wise. But if you don't kind of get back to having a normal life occasionally, you kind of like, there's a comic, whatever, I won't say his name, but I'm sure you know him. And I worked with him like 2 years ago or something. And he was just, I mean, he's an old, you know, he's probably in his mid 40s and just a road dog. And just, you know, I mean, he's just like, it's 12 o'clock at night and he's just like, chain smoking Camel Wise and pounding Red Bull, you know, and I'm like, you know, and just like angry and just really intense all the time. And I'm like, God, man, I can't, like, this is the guy that just never stopped being that comic. And I'm like, I'm just looking at him like, I can't do that. Like, I need to,
right.
You know, you gotta. Well,
and that guy, they're very good at making you feel like you should be doing that or something, or like that's right. Like the, you know, that road dog way is they're like, well, if you want to get good, you got to do the road and stuff like that, which honestly I do think it makes you better.
Yeah,
but you don't have to only do that, you know.
Right.
So there's a bit of insecurity on their part of being like, everyone has to do it this way, right? Because I didn't waste all this time doing this for another, you
sure
know?
Yeah.
There's so much bitterness that comes from those guys. It is not all of them obviously, but
sure,
a lot of those guys who have been doing the road and cruise ships, and you know, there's an excuse for why they missed out on things, or why, you know, stories about almost getting this part but losing out to this person. And you're like, why are you telling me this? Like, why? Yeah. What does this have to do with anything? And it just, I think that no matter what, you're always going to have to reevaluate and reset your goals, and then be okay with the way that things went before. And so sometimes that is complaining or not moving forward. I don't know.
Well, it's having a normal life eventually will make your comedy better, I found too. You know, when you're
absolutely
like just being around, I mean, I have some great comic friends I've made that I hang out with regularly, but you know, I found them like, God, all my friends I used to hang out with, like I get around them, I'm like, okay, this is also like a normal life you need to not feel like it's just this constant, you know, because even if you're just hanging with comedy friends in a non-work setting, it almost always feels like a little bit like work still, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then you're talking about the same things. So then you're writing about the same things and you're, you know, it's, and you're talking about comedy mostly. It's so difficult not to talk shop when you're with other comics.
Right.
I mean, it's just a normal thing. And so I've had plenty of theories about stand-up, but this is the one that I don't think changes, in that you are trying to relate to the audience. So you need to have some sort of life that is close to theirs. I mean, it's,
that's very true.
You know, yeah, they're not, I mean, they can, sure, they can talk about travel or whatever, but
yeah, airplanes are crazy,
right? Yeah, like, but I mean, the family life, the relationships, I mean, that's still the basis of human, like,
rightness
is relationship. And so you need to have some sort of normal relationship, normal life. I don't know, talk about going to yoga. They yeah. It's a, right. You know, gotta get some hobbies. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, but otherwise then you just, it's happened to me a bit. I do have a whole chunk on travel, of course, but I tried to make it about the different, just people in different places, yeah, kind of thing. But, and you talk about doing stand-up, or my least favorite line, I feel like, is when a comic goes, well, I'm a comedian. So, you know, like, they're like, so then I did this. Like, if they talk about having a conversation and they're like, well, I'm a comedian, so then I said something inappropriate. Like, they, it just becomes your identity and not really your art anymore. And right. So then you can't use who you are or what you've been doing to relate to them because you're only this thing. I don't know.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I just think balance in general is important.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. I definitely went through that phase and had to rediscover that, where I was like, I'm spinning out and missing, you know, that other connection. And even, you know, I've, you know, like I said, I have some really close comedy friends that I see very regularly, probably more than anyone else still, even outside of comedy, like doing shows. And there's times where we're hanging out and I'm like, hey, I don't want to talk about comedy, like anything, yeah, like, let's just hang out. Like, let's not bring up anything related yeah to comedy.
The thing that helps me, if you have a normal partner, a normal part, a muggle for a partner,
yeah,
or, you know, or just friends that are like in this, like, it keeps me from talking comedy with other comics. Like, if I'm hanging out with Mike or someone and then my partner's there too, you're like, oh, sorry, talking shop
again. Yeah,
you know, you're like, oh, we can talk about normal people stuff.
Yeah, look at that, we're actual yeah people too.
You so, forget sometimes.
Yeah. So what during this quarantine time, what's one of the things you've missed the most? Like, besides stand-up, obviously, what's one of the things you've missed that you can't wait to get back to?
I mean, it's probably sounds unhealthy, but bars. I miss bars.
Yeah.
Just because, and bowling. Those are weird okay things, but bars and bowling, because that was kind of like the one thing I would do with my friends if I had time that I wasn't traveling.
Sure.
Like, we just go get a drink or go bowling, and then, you know, you just hang out. Like, that's like, I mean, I guess the actual answer is like actually being able to hang out with
sure
people,
socialize.
But that's,
but only if drinking, not sober.
Yes,
gross.
Only because I don't know. Yeah. You haven't met my friends. You need some drinks. yeah, I miss my family. We've definitely made some, you know, adjust. We had a birthday party where everyone wore masks and sat six yeah feet away from each other outside. but there, I am very lucky to have a really good family and a great friend group. And so I definitely miss them the most, and they all like bars too. So
yeah, there you go. is there anything during this time that you've rediscovered that you love that you forgot about, you know, like things that you used to do and you're like, oh, I have this time to, you know, underwater basket weave again or something like that, you know?
That is funny. I gained weight, as I think a few of us have during quarantine.
Everyone has. That's a, yeah.
Right. And so then I started working out again and I kind of forgot how much, I mean, my degree is in sports and exercise science.
Yeah.
kind of forgot how much that makes me feel better. And so that's been a good thing. I've always wanted to be a morning workout person.
Yeah.
And I've been able to start getting up a bit earlier and then going, there's a high school by our apartment, go there and run and stuff. And okay, it's like, I've always wanted to be that person. That's
look at
the,
you're that person
yeah
now. Look at
be that
that
person. Also Legos. I mean, again, there's a 6-year-old around, but I was like, oh yeah, I'm yeah like into it now. I bought my own sets and whatnot. So
the Legos fun now are crazy. They're like so
yeah
advanced and hardcore.
They I have these like this like architecture line for, there's like skylines, but then there's also like you could do the Taj Mahal and like the Statue of Liberty and stuff. And I'm like super into, they're very expensive, but I'm like, I have a Vegas skyline so far, but I've been like looking up all of them.
Yeah.
And, it's a bit meditative. Like, you are only thinking about that one thing. So it's kind of nice to do that when everything else is focused on creating and putting something out and hoping it goes well. And it's like, well, what if I just make Legos with the 6-year old for 30 minutes and I won't think
that
about anything
like
else. So
nice, yeah. our mutual friend, Philip Kopczynski, I was over at his house not long ago and I went downstairs in his basement and he's got just a whole basement dedicated to his two sons' Legos. They've got Legos everywhere. And I'm like, holy shit, Phil. I go, this room has like, you have more money invested into these Legos than my parents invested in my entire life. I'm including food and shelter also. Like, that, like there is no way my parents spent this much money on me in my entire existence just in these Legos. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I think this is that a retaining wall of your house built of Legos there? What is going on?
Yeah, you're like, this whole basement just is Legos.
Yeah. So it's crazy to see that, like, how much they've advanced and stuff, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's see. We're going to get out of here in a few minutes. I'm going to get into some news. You want to get into some news with me, Monica?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, one second.
Broadcasting live from the news mecca, Spokane, Washington, to our affiliates all over the world. This is the Social Hour News.
All right. We've got a couple news articles here. First one up, I wanted to talk to you about this, actually, because I know you are such a sports and basketball fan. The NBA was talking about coming back with a shortened season, figure out who the champions are this year, doing some events in Florida. But as more NBA players have tested positive for coronavirus, it sounds like they might be canceling that.
Yes.
What are your feelings on canceling sports and sporting events with all this going on?
I mean, it is sad for me. I was ready to see. Honestly, I was doing the best I've ever done in my NBA fantasy league. So I get what LeBron's going through where he's like, we were doing well. Can't we just finish?
You know? Right, yeah.
This might be the one time. But it's just such an easy place. And honestly, a lot of them already had it. That was kind of towards the right before lockdown.
Yeah.
It was like full teams that had to be quarantined because of this. So it's just an easy way to spread it. And they haven't been following some protocols prior to that. And so I could see it going. However, the WNBA is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're all in Florida as well. And I was watching some of them practice today. So it's interesting. I'm hoping, you know, I mean, athletes will probably be fine if they do get it. You know what I mean? But that's not really something you want to plan for. and I miss sports and I'm ready to watch again, but if it keeps your favorite athlete from being sick and maybe having that be detrimental to the rest of their career. I mean, how often do we see a player sit out more games or take time off just because they want to rest their body or an injury that might make the rest of their career not what it should be? This seems like the same thing to me. Like, it's just planning ahead to be healthy later.
I think they should. I just had this idea as we're talking. I think they should, since, you know, they just need to play the playoffs, basically, right? What you do, you get all the players, you quarantine them inside an arena, and only they can go in and out, and just let them play the next couple weeks of basketball. And by the time it's all over, they'll all have quarantined and gotten through the virus. And then we're healed. Well, they're healed, and we get basketball.
Yeah, well, I think that was kind of the idea of it, was like all the staff that was there had to be tested. Everybody had to be tested. And then they live in certain places right next to it. And you just, like, all the teams are in the same spot. Nobody's traveling.
Yeah.
But that seems to have already not worked. So I don't know. Or we just let them all quarantine together now that they have it and just see how the playoffs go when everyone's sick.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone gets it. Then they just stay sick there. We keep it. And then once they are healed, then they can come back out.
Just figure it out. Yeah. We'll make it a reality show. We'll film it
Yeah, that would be Hard Knocks or whatever. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
We'll call it Hard Coughs. all right. Well, yeah, I actually am kind of grateful because as a Lakers fan and not a LeBron James fan, I was hoping they wouldn't win the championship this year.
Interesting.
I'm torn. I do not like LeBron. But I love the Lakers, and I didn't want them to win with LeBron. So
that's it. I kind of understand that. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny though. I don't know if I've heard anybody say that. Most Lakers fans are like, "We got LeBron now." Yay.
Yeah. You know, I was such a Lakers guy. I mean, I grew up in LA. You know, I love the Lakers, and when LeBron came into the league, like obviously Kobe was still killing it. So I didn't hate LeBron. I just didn't. I'm like, oh, okay, he's not my guy. He's on another team. He's a great player, obviously. When my disdain came for LeBron is when he did like the announcement or the whatever, I'm gonna take my talents to South Beach. I'm like, all right, man. I don't need your 1 hour special to see where you're gonna sign a multi-million dollar contract.
I mean, that got Gary Payton a ring, but otherwise I don't didn't like it either, you know.
So after that I was like, all right, man, like I kinda like, and I get it, his whatever. Also anyone who like, I don't, everyone jumps on the bandwagon, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of, I really, that whole thing bothers me.
Right. Well, that's hard as a Lakers fan too, because I feel like that is such a bandwagon team.
Very much so.
And so when you are from there and you are just like, that's your team, it's almost like you have to stand up for yourself and you're like, no, I'm like the one, like I've been here.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't remember you repping a Sadale 3 jersey in 93. Okay. Like when that was their best player. So don't come talking, right. Don't come knocking on my door now.
When you're picking jerseys to print, you're like, I mean, I guess this one.
Yeah. it's the best one of this year. Also in the news, we touched on it earlier. This is kind of, but everything that's been going down with the Black Lives Matter protests and things has kind of morphed into a lot more. There's a skirmish that broke out over removal of a Christopher Columbus statue in Connecticut.
Right.
Which, you know, it's funny. You know, you were a kid once. I mean, I think back of like at the history that they taught us in school, and then you get like this kind of ties back into the fact checking thing we talked about today too. But like, did they just assume we'd never be able to fact check anything, or we?
Or we were like, okay. Yeah. Like, I mean, that history
sounds dope, dude. Yeah, that's totally what happened. Yeah.
This habit that I'm like, this is what, like, why was this what you told us?
Right.
And now I'm like, I don't even think this algebra is correct
anymore. Like, I question everything.
I don't believe any shit you told us now. It's funny because I went to kindergarten. I remember we did like the Thanksgiving, like pilgrims and Native American, like, and everyone dressed up and you had a pilgrim thing or a Native American leaf. Or that leaf feather, feather, and you're like, dude, that's not good. There was my best friend in kindergarten. His name was Asa, and he was Native, and I don't even think they thought about it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, nobody said anything, and we were just like, yep, that's what you do. And it was, well, because, and that's the story. They're like, yep, they came over, and then everyone had dinner and it was cool.
They're best friends ever since.
And they're like, let me just skip the part where they murdered everybody. Yeah,
brutal massacres and up and down the Caribbean and all that. Like, yeah, that's details. Don't get into that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, and it's gone on for so long. I mean, that's what everyone was taught. And then, I mean, here. And then Disney, you know, all those Disney movies are a horrible representation of all of those stories.
Actual history.
oh God, there's a lot more genocide and rape in those stories than you would ever want to know. And you're like, wait, you read this story and you were like, this would be good for kids. I'm like, why are
that
you?
Live action what? Pocahontas is going to be wild. it's really crazy that these things, but what the crazier part to me now is, you know, everyone again fact checking and people not believing facts, even as we talked about, like, you can, you know, we know the reality of the story of Christopher Columbus and how it all happened, and it's like, and people still want to like defend him, or like the him discovering the country. Like, first of all, he didn't even discover the country. Yeah, he's dead. He stumbled upon this country accidentally.
Right,
it had been discovered by other people before, and you can't like discover. Like, people already lived here. They wasn't discovered.
You know what I think about so much is that he was trying to. What was he trying to find? The West Indies. And how far away that is, like how incorrect he was.
Like literally as far away as you could be.
He was so wrong.
Right.
Like, oops, I stumbled across it. It's literally on the other side of the world. Like,
yeah.
Why? Oh, man. But he's not alive. Also, like, I don't know what the point is. I honestly would feel better if someone who was on that side of it was just like, I don't want to relearn something.
Sure.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm used to. I want it to be the same.
I fear change.
I would have far more respect for that than them just being like, this is a symbol of my land or something. And you're like, no, it's not. It's the opposite of that, actually.
Right.
It's a symbol of us taking it. Like,
we should build a statue in the West Indies and be like, he almost made it here. The only time Christopher Columbus made it to the West Indies was hundreds of years later.
We're going to put him there just so he knows what it looks like.
Yeah, it goes, these people just staunchly stuck in these ideas of like, no, this represents, like, well, that argument of how will we teach people about, you know, racism and you know, oppression and things that went wrong in this country. I'm like, the same way we teach everything else, motherfucker. Like,
right.
You don't have to have a statue about it.
Tell them, like, right. I don't. That's one, that part of...
Like, imagine if we only taught history through statues. Like, that's it. We just had we had to only teach through statues. Just giant statues.
Otherwise, you'll forget. That's, like, I just don't know why. Do you have so little to worry about otherwise that you're that upset about a statue coming down?
Right.
Or, like, why? Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't feel like it makes that... much of I don't know. And my argument always with like the Confederate flag or anything like that, when people are like, well, to me it symbolizes you know, the South and being proud of being from the South, and like, yeah, but it hurts someone else. Why isn't that a good enough reason to just say, oh, I can do something else? You could just write the South on your truck if you want. I don't know, but
yeah, just keep dating your cousin. We get it.
Then why is it necessary? Like, I don't.
Yeah, it's like, listen, just put an MTFU sticker on your truck. It's the same thing. that was my kind of thing about the whole Mrs. Butterworth, or not Miss Aunt Jemima syrup thing.
Whenever, I was like, what did I not know about Mrs. Butterworth?
I gotta tell you. Everyone is like really mad about it being taken away. I'm like, okay, it's still, the syrup's still there. Like, if you do you need like a racist depiction on your syrup to eat pancakes in the morning? Like, it doesn't, no one is hurt by it being taken away. Some people may be hurt that it exists. So like, fuck, I don't get, take it away. It's syrup. Who fucking cares?
I mean, and in reality, them taking away the name or changing it, taking away the image is so that, you know, we see images like that as positive and not, you know what I mean? Like, this kind of thing. But also, it's going to taste the same. And if it really bothers you, the same white people are probably still going to make money off of it. So it's not that, you're not losing much, really.
Yeah, it's still going to be there. It's going to be okay. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I just, it's a pretty flimsy argument these people have about keeping.
But they get so upset about it. I'm like, oh my God.
Right. Yeah. I told someone the other day, I'm like, hey, listen, there's 40 million Americans out of work that can't even afford brand name syrup. I don't think they care. I don't think they have an opportunity to care about it. I have an opinion right now. Yeah. They're all eating Great Value syrup for
sure. Yeah.
So, What did you hear about that they wanted to in Columbus, Ohio? They're talking about renaming it Flavortown for Guy.
yeah, there's like a big petition for that. I think that's amazing.
What do we? I'm for
it. I've never worked in Columbus, but I couldn't. I would book a show there immediately if it was called Flavortown.
Right, just to say, like, to put on your calendar.
Yeah, I'll swipe up for tickets in Flavortown.
It's like people are like, did Monica start an OnlyFans? What's happening right now?
there's something like, oh man, it's in Indiana, I believe. It's like it's called like Logic and Consequence or something like that. Something in Consequence is the name of the town.
Oh, really?
And it happened because it was a bet on a radio show, and they said like, well, if we win, then we get to rename your town. And I think it was the name of the show. And so apparently it's not that difficult to rename a place.
Well, if we just all started calling it Flavortown and refusing to call it Columbus, like, let's start sending mail to people in Columbus, Ohio. Yes. Just use the zip code, but put Flavortown.
That's perfect.
It's going to show up.
Yeah. I'm into it. That's good. I mean, I'll just refuse and be like, are you at the Columbus Funny Bone? And be like, no, no, no. You mean the
I am not.
Flavortown Funny Bone.
I'm not familiar with that Funny Bone.
I am not. Is that close to Flavortown?
Yeah. Yeah, it can be an easy movement. I think we should do it. All right, so we are going to get into the last segment here, and then we'll let you go, Monica. This is the segment we call the Rundown. It's just a series of questions I ask all my first-time guests. There's individually, these questions don't mean much, but you put them together, they start to paint a nice, rich tapestry of someone as an individual. So I'll just ask these questions in no particular order, and you just answer them as you see fit, okay?
All right.
All right. First question. If you could purge for 1 hour, like the movie The Purge, anything was legal, what would you do?
That's probably get rid of my own and then as many other people's student loan debt as possible.
Oh, you're like the Robin Hood of the purge.
Just go in and I'm starting with myself, so that's not it. Just getting rid of the purge.
That's a pretty good
I don't know. I feel like really like violence doesn't really isn't exciting to me. I feel very I don't like that. Stealing if it would hurt other people, not my favorite. Big institution in government. I'd steal from them. That sounds good to me.
That's a good answer. I like that. We mentioned Juvenile also. You listen to Juvenile. I've known you to be somewhat of a hip hop fan. If you were a hip hop artist, what would your rap name be?
Oh man, Lil Stepdad.
Lil Stepdad.
Yeah.
I like it. It crosses so many boundaries. Yeah, it's innocuous, but says so much and nothing at all.
Yeah.
Why Little Stepdad?
I have a stepdad energy about me, I think.
Okay. I can see that. I feel that. All right.
Yeah, there's a whole it's a whole energy. It's not a
authoritative.
You don't actually have to be a stepdad, but you know.
Yeah, like authoritative if you need to be, but still cool. Like, listen.
Yeah. I got lots of examples.
Yeah, like I'll drink a beer with you even though I know we shouldn't.
Right. Or like, you know, like dads fall asleep at 7 and then wake up at 9 and they're like, well, time to go to bed.
Yeah.
But stepdads fall asleep at 7, wake up at 9, and then they stay up till 3 in the morning. That's what I'm about.
There you go. All right. I feel that's a good answer. If you had a time machine and could visit any one time in history, what time would that be and why?
I mean, right now, I want to say I would go forward 20 years.
Okay, just blindly fling yourself 20 years forward and see what happens?
Yeah, because I want to know what happens with this. And I also want to know kind of how it all pans out a bit.
Okay.
For me.
That's interesting.
I know what's happened for me prior. I don't necessarily want to be involved in what has already happened even before that. So Yeah, I think I'd go forward.
Just 20 years forward. Okay, that's funny. In the 6 years I've been doing the show, literally no one has ever said forward in time.
Really? Until you said any time.
Yeah, ever. I did. I it's not against the rules. I just, no one has ever had that thought. So you're the first one. You're breaking grounds here. I like it.
Thank you.
What's your favorite movie?
Young Frankenstein.
All right. Solid choice.
Thank you.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
I don't do karaoke.
Never?
No. I've done Baby Got Back and a couple Nicki Minaj songs, so that's it. I'll only rap.
Okay.
And it's just, I'm just not, yeah.
Not a karaoke.
I don't like the attention, which doesn't make sense.
That is odd. Okay, one last question. Monica, what is a guilty pleasure song of yours? Like a song that you love, but if you're rolling down the highway, rolling down the road, you pull up to a stoplight and there's a bus stop and there's people at that bus stop, those windows go up so people don't hear what you're cranking. What's a guilty pleasure song?
Man, this is tough. This is really hard. I don't know why. I don't like rock really, but there's some like 90s, like some Blink 182. I feel like that.
Okay.
Like I still really like that for some reason. So I can't remember what that album is from like the late 90s, early 2000s of theirs, but I'm pretty sure I know like every word to that.
All right.
But I don't listen to rock otherwise.
I definitely couldn't tell you that's not my genre either, but I would, I guess. So I'm with you there. That 100% makes sense.
Obviously, not enough to. I know what the names are.
All right, Monica, before we let you go, shout out your website, social media, any dates coming up potentially, or where people can find you so they can follow you and keep track and come see you live sometime or on YouTube, etc. So
yes. Everything is my name, so it's monicanevy.com, at Monica Nevy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Monica Nevy. My YouTube is youtube.com/MonicaNevy. And then I have a podcast as well called The Hug Life. That's one word, Hug Life. And we're on Instagram too, at Hug Life Podcast. We come out on Wednesdays. It's a positive podcast. It's a good time, me and Mike Coletta. And then I have a documentary series on Amazon Prime called 80 for 80. That'll always be on there. And then I do have two albums that are coming out. But if you follow all the social medias or look at my website, that stuff will be there. And just for the next few weeks, definitely some live stream stuff on my YouTube. So check that out. But there'll be updated calendar with live dates coming up soon.
Perfect. All right, guys, make sure and go follow Monica. Check out her YouTube and live streams until you can catch her on a live show. She is hilarious. Great to see live and great to hang out with. Hopefully I get to see you soon in real life if we ever get to go out of our houses again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I had fun.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. So check out Monica. As for me again, go to DeeceComedy.com/calendar. We've got some dates that are coming up. Lewiston is coming back, but so hopefully Idaho sticks. The Washington stuff is probably a crapshoot. all right, guys, for Monica and everyone, thank you for listening.
And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to 6-year-olds, Juvenile, Harvey Levin, Road Comics, LeBron James, and Guy Fieri. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!